is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, hoop heads. Wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and they truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Also, make sure to check out the new Dr. Dish home machine. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Robbie Lehman, content manager at Fast Model Sports, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. FastDraw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering new subscribers 10% off FastDraw and Fast Scout. Just use the code SAVE10 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball.
Coaches, do you have a point guard or leader you're going to be counting on next season to run the show for you? Don't leave next season to chance. Thousands of coaches send their players to a point guard college camp each summer to learn to think the game, lead a team, and run the show. Your players will be smarter, better leaders, and better equipped to foster a championship culture next season in practice and in your locker room. I've seen firsthand how PGC camps have had a huge impact on players and coaches that I know, both on and off the court. You can go to pgcbasketball.com to find a 5-day, 4-night camp near you. That's pgcbasketball.com.
University of Albany has embraced the fact that they believe in family, that they believe this is a journey that everyone is in, is a part of, and we all need to be together in this. And they did an amazing job to just always include us. And it's interesting, as I think back and think about that moment, they kept repeating my name, my children's names, Dwayne's name, which was amazing because, as he said, you don't get that often. And that feeling just felt very, very authentic.
Welcome to episode 2 of our Hoopheads podcast series called Mentality with Dwayne Killings. Season 1 at UAlbany that will document Dwayne's first year as the head men's basketball coach at the University of Albany. We plan to record and release 2 to 4 episodes per month with Dwayne and players, coaches, administrators, media members, family, and others associated with the Great Danes basketball program to get an inside look at what being a first-year head coach at the Division I level is all about. If you're looking to improve your coaching, please consider joining the Hoopheads Mentorship Program. We believe that having a mentor is the best way to maximize your potential and become a transformational coach. By matching you up with one of our experienced mentors, you'll develop a one-on-one relationship that will help your coaching, your team, your program, and your mindset. The Hoopheads Mentorship Program delivers mentoring services to basketball coaches at all levels through our team of experienced head coaches. Find out more at hoopheadspod.com or shoot me an email directly, mike@hoopheadspod.com. Our roster of shows is growing, so don't forget to check out all our other podcasts on the Hoopheads Pod Network, including Thrive with Trevor Huffman, Beyond the Ball, the CoachMaze.com podcast, Players Court, Bleachers and Boards, The Green Light, Courtside Culture, and our team-focused NBA pods, Cavalier Central, Knuck a Few Buck, 305 Culture, Hashtag Lakers, Motor City Hoops, X's and O's NBA Breakdown, Spanning the Spurs, LA Hoops, The Wizards Hoops Analyst, Lakers Fast Break, At the Buzzer, and coming soon, Daily Thunder. We're looking for more NBA podcasters interested in hosting their own show centered on a particular team. Email us info@hoopheadspod.com if you're interested in learning more and bringing your talent to our network. Get ready to go behind the scenes with us as we talk with Dwayne Killings and his wife Anna about being a coach's spouse, the decision to take the job at UAlbany, finding a new home, their plans to impact the community, and much more. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here without my co-host Jason Sunkel this afternoon, but we are here for part two of our special series Mentality with Coach Dwayne Killings following his first season at the University of Albany. And tonight we are actually very pleased to welcome his lovely wife, Anna, to the podcast to talk a little bit about what it's like to change your entire life around to follow your spouse to a new job across the country to a different place and just get an idea of what it's like to be the spouse of a Division I head coach. So Anna, let's start with this. Just give us an idea of your life as a coach's wife, some of the things that are unique about it, some of the things that you love about it, some of the things that are challenging about it.
Sure. Well, thank you so much for your wonderful welcome. I will say that being married to a coach is not for every woman. It's definitely not easy. We've definitely had some amazing experiences in this journey. I think Dwayne did a great job at first when we were dating to let me know and be really honest with me and let me know that his job or his career was not a typical 9-to-5. He was very upfront, said, I will be traveling a lot. I will not be home a lot. So I just need you to understand that and understand what you're getting yourself into. So I think he did a great job with letting me know what was up ahead. Obviously, I lunged forward and I said, let's go for it. So over the years, as I've grown with him in the business, I've understood more of what he says and what he meant. It's definitely, like I said, not for everyone. You definitely have to be a woman who's okay with sometimes not having your husband around, sometimes knowing that there's going to be holidays that he will not be with you or your family, and you have to be okay with it. We've been to some amazing places, have been part of amazing programs, have met some great people. To this day, we still have contact with them and even visit whenever we can. So that's been an amazing part of it. I think too, just being exposed to different places, different people. Our kids have been very fortunate to meet people as well and understand what different things look like. But it's been fun, but there have been times that it has been a little difficult because like I mentioned, my husband has now given himself to the whole world. So I have to balance to be able to say, hey, it's okay. He still loves us. He's still with us, but with what he's trying to do, I need to be okay with letting him not give us so much time all the time. And that's okay.
Here's a question that always pops into my head whenever I think about being the spouse of a coach. And that is, up until this point, he's been an assistant coach. And as an assistant coach, obviously you have a lot less control over the schedule. And that's not to say as the head coach that you're working less, because obviously that's not true. But you have a lot less control over when and where and why you have to be in a certain place and do a certain thing. And now as the head coach, you have a little bit more control over that. So what was it like when all of a sudden that you think he's coming home at 8 p.m. and suddenly there's a coach's meeting at 8:30 p.m. that he has to stay another 2 or 3 hours? And how do you handle that? What do you do inside your own mind to help you to work through those kinds of challenges?
That's a great question. It happens often, more often than you would think. But I think, like I mentioned, he prepared me mentally to understand that. I mean, there's been times, yes, that we would have plans and he would call at the very last minute because obviously basketball triumphs a lot of things. But I've managed to just say, hey, do what you have to do. We'll make up whatever we had planned another day, another week, whatever it is. And you just move on. I think my husband can echo that sometimes when we are away from each other, it's actually a good thing simply because it just draws us closer. And I think we have a great working relationship where we understand, hey, if we couldn't meet up today to go to dinner, we'll just do it next week. And it's funny that you also asked that because a lot of times we'll get invited by friends to do different things and they want us to be a part of whatever it is, a dinner party or go out to dinner, whatever it is. And oftentimes I have to decline and say, well, I'll get back to you the day before because I can't tell them, yes, we are going to agree to meet up in 2 months because that, as you know, will change literally in a matter of 24 hours. So I've been okay with it. I've navigated. I understand exactly how it works. And I don't take it personal. It's part of the job. It's part of what he does. And like I mentioned, this is what I signed up for.
Absolutely.
Right, Mike, can I just add?
Sure.
You know, I think that we try to both be really intentional about, you know, even if it's in the middle of the season, going to drop the kids off together or going to get coffee, because you try to take that pause. But at the same time, you know, I think the best thing about, you know, my wife is that she understands like the business. And I think that's an important key to making, you know, a family work inside of our sport, is that you have to understand it. So like, you know, having the expectations like Saturday night, we're going to go to dinner with some friends after the game at 12. She also knows that that game doesn't go well, what that means. And she's okay with that. But that's important, because for some people, you know, it can kind of crush your world and it doesn't happen. But, you know, we'll try to go work out together if we can. And, you know, we have like a little home gym where some mornings we'll get up and work out together just to be present and with each other, just to get that time, because the business pulls you so many ways. But I do think, and I'm sure you'll get to this, that is a little different, is that, you know, she really enjoys the kids in the business. So she kind of puts herself into my world, which kind of connects it all. So now my kids are kind of understand the recruiting process, and we bring them in there. That's a chance for us to spend time, whether we're talking to a kid on FaceTime or one of our players comes over the house, and those things are really important. But at the beginning of our journey together, the thing that was really great is that she's very independent. So she's not so dependent on me that if I'm not there, or something changes, now all of a sudden, like, her world's kind of unbalanced. Like, she can just keep going, which is really, really healthy for both of us. But to her point, you know, when I'm gone, when we come back, it makes, you know, those moments better. And obviously my kids are so young that, you know, at least when I do walk through the door, they get excited. Now obviously that's going to change when we become teenagers.
If you do it right, let me tell you guys, if you do it right, most of the time they will still be excited when you walk through the door.
I hope so.
If you do it right, that's the best
feeling in the world, watching those kids' smiles light up when you come through the door. That's awesome. That's
absolutely. And if you set it up correctly, your kids will still want to be around you when they get to be teenagers. Mine are now 17, 15, and 11. And, you know, not that they don't get sick of me and my wife every once in a while, but most of the time they're pretty happy to come home and see mom and dad. So that's a good, like I said, it's a good feeling for sure.
Absolutely. Without question.
It sounds like for you guys, I think one of the things that jumped out at me when both of you guys were talking is just how important the communication piece of it was, especially Anna, for you at the beginning, where Dwayne lays it out and like, look, this is just the way that it's going to be. And this is the career that I'm pursuing. And if I'm going to pursue it to the degree that obviously he has and to the success that he has, there's going to be challenges and there's going to be times where he's going to be away a lot, as you said. And I think being upfront, I mean, we can point to a bunch of different situations in life where if you communicate upfront rather than after the fact, things tend to go a lot better and a lot smoother. And it sounds like that's what happened for you guys. So talk about how communication played a role in this decision to go to the University of Albany. First of all, how did you guys together find out about it? Dwayne, how did you break the news to Anna that it was something that you were going to consider? And then what were those first conversations like between the two of you?
So she always understood I wanted to be a head coach. And then, you know, when we went to be honest, I wouldn't have gone to Marquette without, you know, her kind of giving me like perspective, where she was like, I think this is a really good fit for what you want. And I value that, because, you know, she understands who I am, and then she sees the opportunity, and, you know, we try to do things together, you know, in terms of the decisions that we make career wise and for our family. But when I could articulate, you know, what I was looking for in an opportunity to become a head coach, where, you know, it was somewhere in the Northeast corridor and a place that made sense for my family and a place that valued people and community and had a good basketball tradition, you know, Albany checked all those boxes. So once I started to tell her about the opportunity, she's like, well, that's the one, you know, and that's it. So then, it just gets kind of crazy, because the job opportunity opens and all these things are happening, like all these conversations are happening around the job. And in reality, you know, I'm sitting at the dining room table just talking to people, like, you know, constantly, like, here's the rumor, here's the information. I had talked to my agent, talked to the AD, talked to, you know, the guys that I've worked for at previous stops. And she's just kind of like calibrating and taking in all the information, you know, as it's coming.
Yep.
And then in between each call, she's like, okay, what's happening now? I'm just like, okay, hold on a second. Let me, because, you know, there's a process that's going on in my mind. And I'm always one of those people that I'm constantly processing and trying to think like, okay, well, here's what this means and here's who we need to talk to. So she's kind of letting me do my thing, but kind of trying to get step by step. Okay, what's happening next? And as I started to tell her about the opportunity, she could see my excitement. So then she started to get excited. But then I could tell at night, like when I opened up the laptop, she'd started looking at, okay, well, let me think about the homes and the community. And she's trying to see her side of the life. Like I see my side of the life. My life is from the professional side. It's very different. So she's looking at the schools and the neighborhoods and what does the city look like? So, you know, we both went through our processes, but then her biggest concern was like, are you going to get the job and do you really want the job? And then when I started to tell her about the leadership and the people, I think she could really see myself here. And the best part, you know, to it all was, I think we both individually and collectively, when we finally got here, when I got offered the job, we both were like, this is a really good fit for us. And I think the biggest thing is that, you know, this is a huge moment for myself and for my family because, you know, this is what you dream of doing. But then on top of it, you know, you get a president and an AD, you know, President Rodriguez and Mark Benson, our athletic director, that believe in one person's ideas and vision and reality, like believe in you as one person. That's a lot. You know, that's huge that they would do that and give us this opportunity. And it's going to impact my family forever. So I'm forever indebted to them. And then I think the best thing that they did and why we felt so good about the decision was when we got here, it wasn't just about me. It was about, you know, my kids, Alicia and Tristan, and also Anna with the way they welcomed us. And that doesn't happen for a lot of people. So that was pretty impressive. And I think it reassured us that this is perfect and this is the perfect place. And I've fallen in love with it. You know, I've been here a lot longer than they have. They've probably spent a total of maybe 8 days here. But I'm giving them the play-by-play and, you know, kind of giving them the lay of the land and the people, and she's trying to keep up best she can, but it feels right. And I think I'm laying a lot of tracks for them to feel comfortable and feel at home when they get here.
All right. So, Ann, I want to ask you two things off of what Dwayne just said. Number one, when he's sitting at the kitchen table and he's fielding those phone calls and he's talking to former colleagues and people that he's worked with in the past and trying to decide whether this is a good opportunity, what are you thinking about? What were some of your first initial thoughts? As obviously you've moved before, so you've kind of had at least some experience with that, but what were the things that were popping into your head? And then after you answer that, I want to circle back to just the way that the University of Albany included your entire family as part of the process. But let's go back to sitting at the kitchen table trying to figure out what this opportunity really was about. What were the main things that you were thinking about, Anna?
Well, it was a very interesting week, to say the least. I think Dwayne and I were both on pins and needles, just trying to understand what was going to be the next step, what was going to happen. Was he going to get the job? Was he not? And I think because I've been part of this journey with him for a while, I take each season by its season. I don't think for a full year, because as you know, things can change at the end of the Final Four, right? Like there's job movements, people move, people go, people stay. So I literally just take our life by the season. And I'm always ready for the unexpected, for something to happen, whether that's being offered a different opportunity, going to a different school. So for me, having that already in my head, I know that I have to find schools. And the biggest thing for me that I need fitness. So if we find a neighborhood where I can have my fitness, and wherever I go, I make sure to build my own community. So there's fitness. I build my own community. We're in a great neighborhood. That's all I need. I have my kids. I have my husband. That makes me the happiest. So when he was going, when I was getting these play by play and trying to understand, do we have it? Do we not? My thing was just, okay, where are we going to live? What's the neighborhood like? Let me look at the land. Let me see what the neighborhood is best for us that will make sense for us. And I'm from New York City, so being close to home made a lot of sense. My mom is 2.5 hours away. His parents are 1 hour, 45 minutes away. So it just made sense. So the idea that he was offered the position was super, super exciting. But for me, I just needed to know, where do you think we're going to live? Because after we have that, we can just pan everything else out and everything else will fall into place.
What's your process for figuring that out? Like, how do you go about figuring out what do the neighborhoods look like? What kind of house am I looking for? Do you have a set of people? Do you have a real estate person that you've used in the past? And again, obviously you have to get referred to somebody from the local area, but just how do you go about finding those things to make sure that you have a great fit for your family?
Sure. So we go by feel. We go by feel. We go by people's opinions. Typically, we drive by the neighborhoods and see what it feels like, see what's around. And we like walkable neighborhoods, neighborhoods where you can just walk, see people. There's a community. There's a store down the street, a grocery store, a coffee shop. That's our type of neighborhood. And once we have that, we feel like it's home, because you can make it home once you have the right people around you. So for us, that's usually what it entails, just driving around. Does it feel good? Does it look good? Does it feel like we can raise our family here? And a lot of times we're often right. And we've been in great neighborhoods, which it has been amazing, have met great people. So that's usually our process. With this market now, it's just been a little crazier. I mean,
my wife's a real estate agent, so believe me, I know.
Yes, it's been a little crazier, but I know we'll find a great place for us. But typically, it's just a matter of feel, getting opinions. And for us, I think the biggest thing is just having what's important to us, which is fitness, a great park, walking distance to a lot of places that will make us the happiest.
I think with your kids too, being able to find the right neighborhood that has good schools and then also has a neighborhood with other kids, I'm sure that's something that you prioritize. When you guys are coming from out of town, when you come in, what does that look like for you? Are you usually able to pull things off quickly, or is it more of a longer drawn out process? How many times do you have to go through a neighborhood, or is it more of just you just have a sixth sense and an innate ability to figure out, hey, this place feels right for us?
Man, great question you just asked. So this is where we split. I'm a feel guy. So I can hit a block and be like, this is where we belong.
This is it.
Or like, for instance, we went to a neighborhood and, there's a guy coming down the street and I just asked him some questions. And he says, hey, I have a house for sale right here. And I was like, this actually felt like the right neighborhood for us. It's just like a feeling. I think she's a processor, so she's got to get more information than me. So that's why we are where we at right now in this house process, because we got the feel guy on one side, and then we got the information gatherer on the other side. But it creates, I think, a happy medium, because, there are some things, right, that you got to process as you make these decisions, that sometimes maybe with your feel, you can get a bunch of different things addressed, but then maybe there's something around the corner that doesn't fit, because it's not just, what's best for me and my professional side of my career. There's also my family, but then there's also the kids. And then to her point, accessibility to working out and her happiness. So we got to balance like a ton of very different things. And then, being a head coach of a program like this in this community, that's really, really important for us. We want to impact the community. So then like where we decide to live, it changes how we do those things really quickly. And then I think the last piece that I'll add, like, I hate commuting. I absolutely hate it. I think it's,
I hate
it. But it's because I feel like, that idle time is just, I could be doing so many different things. And then also, if I'm leaving work late, if I'm, a 15 to 20 minute ride sounds easy, but you got to walk from your office to the car. You're going to run into two people that you talk to. That's 10 more minutes. Then, you get in the car, you got to get your stuff in there. You get in the car, you drive, maybe you make a stop or whatever. But so now all of a sudden that 20 minute ride is really like a 30 to 35 minute commitment. And when you're leaving the office in the hours that we do, that means you may be walking in, and it's happened to me a ton in my career. And that, that's part of the life of being a basketball coach. You're walking in the house, your kids are going to bed, and that means you're not getting a lot of time with them. So, that makes it hard, to be a father that's present in their lives. Cause in reality, I get a chance to be around my players more than I am my own kids. So if we live in a place where sometimes I can pop home, I can bring them to basketball practice, but then she's got to pick them up. Those things, it adds to me being a father. It adds to me being a husband. So I kind of try to calculate those things and bring them to my decision. But she brings in a whole lot of other things. I'll let her do her whole process.
All right. Yeah. Give us the, so we got the gut feeling guy on the one side. Give me the process oriented person on the other side. What does that look like, Anna?
So I will say, I will credit Dwayne for teaching me along the years how to just manage being somewhere close to work, right? So I used to live in Boston a few years ago, and I would commute. My commute was very long. And he would always make fun of me, like, you are commuting everywhere for such a long period of time, and that does not need to happen. So I've learned through him over the years of, you know, you just live somewhere that's close to your job, that's close to everything, and life will be much easier. So I've learned to understand the concept of time and how you don't get that back. But for me, it is about feel as well, but I'm also wanting to understand the dynamics. Like, I need to do a little research into, what does this neighborhood have? Who are the people that live here? What is around here that can offer us whatever we need? I just need a little more information besides the feel, but I do like the feel. I just need a little more information.
I'll give you a good story from my own situation. So the house that I live in now is actually in my hometown where I grew up. And my wife used to be a guidance counselor, and she got out of that when my kids were born and stayed home, and then as recently got back into real estate. But my mother-in-law was a real estate agent. So this is like 15 years ago when we bought our house, and my mother-in-law and I went out to like 15 houses in the community where we kind of had targeted where we wanted to live. And I came back with two or three of them that I thought, oh, these are ones that I think my wife will like. And she walked into the one that we bought, and she literally walked into the foyer. And now from the foyer, the only thing you can do, it's kind of like a California style house. So you go downstairs like six steps or upstairs six steps. You literally can't see anything of the rest of the house. And she walked in and was in this foyer where all you can see is like four walls basically. And she's like, I want to live here. I'm like, all right. I'm like, sold. All right, here we go. I'm like, here we go. So I did my due diligence ahead of time. And then my field person came in and was like, okay, let's do it. So I can totally relate to sort of the two diametrically opposed processes of figuring out what that looks like.
Hey, hoop heads, we all hate ankle sprains, and they happen way too often. Ankle injuries are the number one sports-related injury. Arise is trying to change that. With the iFast, your athletes get preventative protection and full mobility. Athletes no longer need to wear bulky braces that limit performance and give mediocre protection. Anyone playing sports should be using these products. Keep your athletes in the game. Don't wait for them to get hurt to take action. Visit www.arise.com/teampricing to learn more. That's ARYSE.com.
Let's talk about how the University of Albany welcomed you guys as a family, because one of the things that I was struck by from watching the press conference, I know, Dwayne, you mentioned it a couple of times when we talked the last time, that it doesn't happen everywhere. And I was just, again, blown away by how much effort they put into being inclusive of your entire family, and not just making it about basketball, but talking about you as a human being and the impact that you could have, not just on basketball players, but on people. And I know that's one of the things that you and I have talked about on the two podcasts that we've already done, just about your desire to have a bigger impact than just in between the lines on a basketball floor. So, Anna, how did that make you feel when you had obviously already made the decision that you're coming here, and you had a good idea that probably that was the feel that you were going to get? But I have to imagine that when you show up in town and that press conference and the things that went on, the video and all that stuff, I got to imagine that cemented in your mind that, hey, we made a really good decision here.
I mean, it was an unbelievable feeling. The fact that you go somewhere, you arrive on campus and all eyes are on you. It's almost like you are the most important thing or person or family that has arrived. And they just want to take care of you and make sure that you're happy. And it was just an amazing feeling to just see Dwayne's biggest smile, my kids' biggest smile. And like he mentioned, you don't get that everywhere. And I think University of Albany has embraced the fact that they believe in family, that they believe this is a journey that everyone is a part of. And we all need to be together in this. And they did an amazing job to just always include us. And it's interesting, as I think back and think about that moment, they kept repeating my name, my children's names, Dwayne's name, which was amazing because, as he said, you don't get that often. And that feeling just felt very, very authentic. And even before then, people were reaching out to me to introduce themselves, to say hello, to say welcome. And it just felt very genuine. It felt very natural. It felt like they really wanted us there. And it just felt like it was home. It was just a no-brainer.
What about the kids? How are the kids feeling, first of all, about the move? And then two, once they get here, now you've been here and spent 8 days there, what's it been like for them? Are they adjusted to it? Are they sad about leaving friends behind? Kind of where are they with the process?
So Alicia is 7. When we told her the day after, we told her right before it was drop off time for school. And the response was not what we wanted to hear. She didn't seem as excited. And then I mentioned to the teacher what was happening. And the teacher actually had reached out to me saying that she had to take her out into the hallway and talk to her because she started crying. But I think what had happened was that she thought we were moving the next day and didn't process that we weren't going to move until the end of the school year. So that to her was an indication of, wait, what do you mean? We're moving like tomorrow. That makes no sense. So that was a little hard for us. That was not the reaction we were expecting. Now, our 3-year-old, he just follows his big sister. Whatever his big sister says and does, he's like, I'm with it. But then that weekend, we were there for the press conference. She met the AD's daughter, who's also the same age as her and loves LOL dolls. And they hit it off. They were excited. My son was also friendly with the AD's son. So they were super excited. And they understand that we're moving now. They understand that, okay, we're moving. We have to find a home. We're going to be here till the end of the school year. And oftentimes we'll have conversations and they're like, yeah, when we get our home in New York, when we get a home in Albany. So they understand what's going on and they're excited. They're excited. When we went last time, we actually stayed in the dorms and Alicia was like, oh my God, this is great. I can't wait to be a student here. This is going to be amazing. So she felt like a big girl. Cause she's like, I am at a dorm. I'm sleeping in a dorm. So it's been nice to see her understand the process more versus the first day when we told her, she's like, wait, I'm leaving all my friends behind. That can't happen. But she's really, really excited. And then we introduced to her the idea of, hey, you can have pen pals. They can write to you. You can FaceTime. We can Zoom. They can visit if they're in the area. So she feels much better now, which has been great to see.
Yeah, it's good to be able to have her make the adjustment. I know that, you know, again, kids have all kinds of different reactions to change in their life, whether it's moving or some kind of other change. And the fact that everybody was so welcoming, I'm sure helped and getting greeted by the cheerleaders and having everybody look up at you and look to you, I'm sure was exciting for them. As you guys think about moving forward and building the program, and you mentioned, Dwayne, about trying to keep your family a part of it. And that's one of the things that we've talked to other coaches about, that you obviously do spend a ton of time away from your family. And the more that you can incorporate them into your program, and obviously they're still young, but just what do you envision the two of you when you start thinking about how you incorporate your family into the University of Albany basketball family as you go forward?
Yeah, I think it goes both ways. You know, I want our program to be a part of my family. Like when I say that, I want to bring our players into my home, and not just like a beginning of the season or end of the season kind of thing. I want it to happen as often as we can. And I think that goes into our conversation about trying to find a home here. It's got to be welcoming to that. I think it's fun for my kids. It's fun for our players. I think it's really important for our players and for some of them to see me and what I represent as a father and a husband, because they may not have that example in their lives. I also think it's pretty cool for my kids to see the players because they're going to look up to them. And that also goes into the evaluation of the kind of kids we're going to bring into our program, because if I bring them into my home, they got to be the kids that represent the right things for my own personal children. Additionally, you know, we've already talked about some programming that we'll do from a basketball team perspective at games and just for the community that are centered around kids. You know, everybody I talk to talks about how great the environment can be for families. And when I think of that, I immediately think of my own children. So what are some really cool things that make it an engaging, fun atmosphere for young kids? Because I want, you know, my kids to enjoy that moment. And it's important that we create something that's really inclusive of all the people in the community, not just our students, but we need our students. We need our faculty and alumni to come in and enjoy those 2 hours and celebrate those 2 hours of hard work that our kids are going to be a part of that play on our team. And then, you know, the other thing is, you know, when we set out on this journey, you know, I said to Anna, like, start thinking about a couple of things that you want to do that you can own yourself. Cause so much of it becomes about the program or about me as the head coach, but I want her to have her own things that represent things that she's passionate about, that she feels like she can bring, or things that she can address, you know, for the Capital Region and the community within it. And some of that will be linked to our kids, right? Because so much of what we do is we do it through our own children, or to give more opportunity for our own kids or kids that look like our children. So those are things that jump out to mind to start with. And I know she's been emailing me and texting me all these ideas. She's got a lot of plans, man. She's got a lot.
throw one or two at us. Throw one or two at me. Let me hear what a couple of things that you think that you want to do to really get involved.
Well, I think an idea that I mentioned to him was starting a summer cleanup, end of summer cleanup, whether that's a few neighborhoods, that's, I don't know, a few blocks in the area, but just make it our own, make it part of University at Albany basketball program. This is what we do before the school year starts, do backpacks, give out backpacks to students, but just be involved in the community so that they see us, they know that we're just not basketball and that we have much more to offer. And I think also being part of this program also means connecting with the students or the players' families. It's important for me for them to know that, yeah, this is your coach, but I'm also his wife, and I want to get to know you as a person. I want to get to know your mom, your dad, whoever's in family. I want to get to know more of them. Because, like Dwayne mentioned, this is a family. We want it to be connected. We want to be a part of each other's lives, and it just makes it much more fun and much more authentic and genuine.
Absolutely. When you look forward, how excited, Dwayne, I guess this question maybe is as much for you as it is for Anna, but how excited are you about your kids having some gym access as they get a little older?
So the first workout we had here, it was like my first time being a head coach, and you got all that energy that you got getting ready to lead and coach kids you've never met. So you're getting on the court and you're doing that. And I text my wife and I said, why don't you bring the kids and me and my son Tristan and my daughter Alicia over to the end of practice, when we're done, and why don't you bring some food over so we can all kind of hang out and they can meet each other. And when they were done, when we were done with practice and everybody's kind of eating, hanging out, talking, I'm watching the kids just run wild in the gym. I mean, just going all over the place. And I think they quickly, because when I was at Marquette, they kind of understood, okay, this is where dad works. But then Coach Wojciechowski was the head coach and, what that represented, and his kids, it was like their spot. So I think they were kind of saying, this is our spot now.
We got it. We're the kings of the court here.
I not taking away anything away from my daughter, but, for my son to grow up around the team would be a lot of fun for me, just bringing him in the locker room, being around the guys. I'm sure sometimes, he's kind of just there, just kind of watching it. Well, so many kids that are coaches' sons, they learn the game just by watching it. Mm-hmm. And that's really cool. And I think it's really powerful what can come from that. And then, for my daughter to be able to see into my world, she doesn't really, she understands what I'm doing, but she doesn't really know. So now I can, and Coach Wojciechowski was always comfortable saying bring the kids in anytime you want. And Coach Dunphy was the same way. But now they're at a point where they're old enough, probably where it makes a little bit more sense. And, my staff doesn't have children yet, but I'm hoping, as their families evolve, they can bring their kids in there. And I want to have some mini hoops in the gym where the kids can just bop around and do their thing while we're doing ours. Because for me, if this is going to work the way I want it to work, it's got to be a family atmosphere. And I think Anna's used the word, we got to be connected. We have to be. And it's not just our players and the coaches. It's got to be the wives, and it's got to be, the people in the community and the administration. I want everybody to feel like they have a piece of this program, because when you win, right, it makes it that much more special. And, there's so many moments that you get in college basketball that are so unique. So if everybody's a part of that, I mean, it just makes for an awesome moment. Hopefully we get a picture and we can laugh about it for years to come.
Anna, have you developed friendships at your previous stops with other coaches on the staff, their wives? Is that something that's happened at different stops along the way?
Absolutely. I mean, we're all we have, right? So we are at these schools and most of us are not from the area, and we have to connect and get to know each other. But it makes it very fun because it's not forced. It's actually genuine. We get to know each other. We spend time with each other. We get to know more about each other's lives. And then the beautiful part about it is, for whatever reason, once we move on, we still have that friendship. We still have that solid friendship where you can pick up the phone, call them, see how they're doing, see pictures of their kids growing up, find out what the latest is in their lives. So it's been great because I've met so many wives along the way. And to this day, we're still in touch. And it makes it fun. It makes it genuine. It makes it fun. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that when you look at that opportunity to be able to, again, when you're going to different places, I think you have to be open, right? You have to be outgoing. You have to be willing to kind of put yourself out there and develop those friendships. And a lot of times, I mean, you guys have had stops that have been 5 years, 2 years, different amounts of time that you've been in particular spots. And every time you go, not that you have to completely start over, like you said, you still are maintaining those friendships that you had before, but you've probably at this point gotten good about kind of figuring out who your people are. And you mentioned, you know, finding your fitness community and getting the thing going. I'm sure you've gotten pretty good at that over the years as you've gone from place to place.
Yes. Yes. It becomes very natural after a while. And I think the beautiful part about it is you just get to meet people. You get to meet people, you get to see different perspectives, you get to understand where people come from. And sometimes people don't have that experience unless they're going through what I go through. So it's been great.
All right, two questions for you. One, what, if anything, has been the biggest difference to this point with Dwayne being a head coach versus an assistant? Is there anything that you can put your finger on? I know it's obviously really early, but is there anything that you can put your finger on? And then the second part of the question is, what are you most looking forward to, let's just say this season, with him being a head coach? So what's been different to this point? And then what are you looking forward to as this season moves along?
What's been different, I would say, is time. Everything rests on his shoulders. He is on the go from the moment he wakes up till the moment he goes to sleep, which is not much different than before when he was an assistant, but now he has so much to think about, so much to pinpoint, so much to delegate. So I see that as a big difference, where it's just a lot on his plate, a lot on his laundry list. But he's been great with managing it all and trying to take care of it all. And what I'm looking forward to is seeing him on the court, seeing him lead this program, seeing him talk to his players, develop his players, grow these great relationships. I'm just excited to just see him just take charge and build this community that we're looking forward to.
Hey, coaches, parents, and group leaders. I want to introduce you to our newest sponsor, SnapRaise. SnapRaise is the nation's largest digital donation platform built to help teams, youth groups, and clubs raise money quickly and efficiently without selling products. SnapRaise builds your group a customizable campaign website, and students use their mobile devices to connect and engage with their biggest fans. My son's high school team used SnapRaise this season, and our team raised all the money they needed to fund their season, and then some. Getting SnapRaise started is quick and free. Just visit snapraise.com, and you'll get connected to a local SnapRaise expert in no time.
What's your role as a sounding board during the season when he's coming home and asking you different things about stuff that goes on? And clearly some of those conversations may be different as a head coach, but just what was your role, or what is your role in season when you guys are talking, and, you know, before you're going to sleep at night and you're laying down in bed and talking to each other, what does that look like? What are those conversations about?
So I've called myself the associate head coach at all times because that's what it is. But typically I'll wait for him. We talk about whether it was the game and how it happened, how it went. We talk about any players that he's recruiting. So just talk about the day, talk about what's going on with us, talk about the program, talk about how I can be of more help to him, and just being transparent with everything. So it's more about the communication and just going about our day. How can we help each other? What do you need? What do you need? Tell me what frustrates you. How can I help? How can I make it better? Is typically what our conversations look like.
How important, Dwayne, are those conversations to you on a daily basis?
Yeah, they're really helpful. I mean, you know, it's not always the last person I talk to, because she bails on me all the time.
I mean, Mike, sometimes he's on the phone. It's like 11:30 at night. I'm like, okay, dude, I got to go to sleep.
I know. My wife and I are the same way. Trust me. And I'm not even coaching under nearly as much demand as Dwayne is. So yeah, I know my wife will kick off to bed a lot earlier than me a lot of nights. So I get it. Believe me.
But I think, you know, a lot of times, some of it, she doesn't understand, like if you're going through a scouting report or you're going through talking about some of the things you deal with in recruiting, but she does understand, like, hey, did you ever think about saying this or doing this? Cause she knows me too. So I think those things can be really helpful. And sometimes just as I'm, you know, just kind of unloading and unraveling the day, you know, it makes me kind of like, okay, I never thought about this, or I need to replay and think about that. And a lot of times, like, she's listening and she'll be like, well, at Temple, you did this. So, you know, she has a lot of different reference points that that helps. And, you know, sometimes it's just to give her a chance to see into my world. You know, like, I'll be sitting there, you know, watching film, getting ready for one of the Big East opponents. She'll be like, so what do we got to do to win this game? And you just start talking through it. And then, you know, after the game, she'd be like, well, you guys didn't rebound the way you thought you were. And I'll be like, yeah, thanks. I noticed that. but, you know,
I'm your biggest cheerleader.
That's it. That's good stuff.
Yeah, it's good. You know, and then it's funny, like, sometimes, you know, you come back in the locker room, you go through all this, you know, coach talk about games, and then you get home. And, you know, she'd be like, you guys are really tough today. And I'm like, yeah, actually, we were. You're right. You know, you saw it. Or other times she'd be like, yeah, you guys weren't hustling enough. And, you know, a lot of times, like, she can understand it because she just hears me talking and watching and all that. So it makes it fun. You know, it makes it a lot of fun. I think she feels more invested into it. So that stuff's important.
But, Mike, I will say there are moments that I know when not to say anything.
Yeah.
So there are moments where he may come home and I'm like, oh, this was not a good one. and I stay quiet until he's ready to talk. And sometimes he doesn't even want to share anything. So I just respect the silence, and we may go to bed and that's that. And then the next morning, we're ready. We talk about it. We debrief and we move on. So I do know the balance of when I should say something and when I probably should just not.
Have you become more of a basketball expert over the course of your relationship? Do you feel like you have a far greater understanding of the game compared to when you guys first got together?
Oh, for sure. For sure. You know, I think before I was more of a spectator. Just watching the game, cheering. Now it's more like I'm like in it. So I understand the process. I understand what he has to do. I understand what's going on. And it's been fun because I've been learning a lot, and it wouldn't have happened had I not been in this position.
Yeah, but she always falls in love with one of the guys. Like, she's always like, this guy should play more.
He needs more minutes. There you go. Yeah.
I'm just giving him a different perspective that he's not seeing. That's all.
Is it a person? Is it a personality, or is it a talent thing that you're looking for? Do you like the kid, or do you like the kid's game, or a combination of both?
I think it's a combination of both. It's a combination of both. But when you see that talent, I just have to call it out and just mention it to him because he may not be seeing it.
It is funny though. It is funny though that there are sometimes different perspectives, and sometimes you can, when you're so deep into it, you know, even when you just, you know, Dwayne, you mentioned when she just said, hey, you guys were really tough out there today, or you really hustled there. Sometimes you can take all this minutia and maybe it does just boil down to, hey, we just got to be tougher. And you could, you know, you could look at all these different things. Sometimes that outsider perspective, I'm sure, is helpful.
No, for sure. I mean, it definitely is. I mean, you know, you get, you know, I call it, and I took this from somebody else, you know, the guys in your cabinet, those are the guys that you talk to, you know, almost every day. So for me, it's like Bruiser Flynn, Ashley Howard, Kamani Young, Kyle Neptune, JB Bickerstaff. Like, those are my guys that you're just constantly just running stuff off. But then she's also extension of that, like, in the non-coaching world. But so much of it, when you talk about like toughness, for one, like, she hears me say that all the time. That's part of like the DNA of our program. And we talk about mentality. That's one of the words that we talk about. But she also knows that she hears me say it so much. So like, she kind of understands what it is that I'm looking for, what it is that I feel like we need to be really good. You know, and then if I'm come home talking about a recruit and I'm like, oh, he's so tough, he's this, he's that. Well, then she's like, well, then we better get him, because then I don't have to hear you complain about all this nonsense anymore.
I put a lot of pressure on him, a lot of pressure.
It's all part of it.
All right, Anna. So what's something that he says all the time that you're like, all right, enough of that?
Oh, there's a lot of that.
What's for dinner? I'm always hungry.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, my gosh. What's for dinner? I mean, Mike, when I tell you this man has a tapeworm, I can cook so much food that I think will last for like 2 or 3 days. It will be gone in like literally 30 minutes. So that's one of his things. What's for dinner? I think that's pretty much one of the biggest things that he always says. What's for dinner? Oh, he will say, Dwayne, I hope you don't mind, but he will ask me to rub his feet. I don't do feet.
Stay away from
feet. I do not do feet. He will often ask, you know, I've had a long day. I've been standing on my feet all day. I just look at him and I say, I'm sorry, sir. I just can't do that.
That's completely understandable. I won't even ask what the condition of the feet are. I know what the condition of my feet are. Everybody would want to stay away from my feet. So I'm with you, Anna. Sometimes I don't even want to go by my own feet, let alone have somebody else buy them. What's the go-to meal, Dwayne? If you could pick any meal that Anna makes, what's the best meal coming down the pike?
Wow. Let's see. So she makes chicken and rice really, really well. She also I'm trying to think of the name of it. It's one of the Dominican dishes. It's the chicken like dumplings. What are they?
Pastelitos.
I haven't had them so long. See,
she's throwing down the gauntlet right there, Anna. Watch out.
Pastelitos are one of my favorite. She also does this. I don't know what the thing, crock pot, and she puts meat in it with this buffalo sauce and a little bit of seasoning or whatever. So we eat that a lot. That's one of my go-tos. And then, she used to get really creative back in the day, but I guess I'm too busy, and I guess the kids, I can't get the meals that she got me with a long time ago, but I'm still happy, man. I'm good.
All right. I have to add. So the last time we were in Albany, the kids and I, we went out there to look for a house. But do you not know that this man had me cooking every single day? So I said to him, so you really flew us out here so I can just cook for you.
For the staff. No, for the whole staff, though. I told you, we're a family. We do
things. I was cooking for the entire staff every single day.
Nice. Well, I hope you got a big thank you for that.
I did. I definitely did. I always do. Good.
Dwayne, what's your meal that you cook? Toast?
No. I'm a seasonal cook. I grill.
All right, you're a griller. All right.
Yeah, you get 3 good months out of me. That's
okay. Oh, you do chili. You do good turkey chili.
Turkey chili. That's right. I can get you through the winter for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
All right. There you go.
See,
it's a balance.
Yeah, you gotta have one or two things. As a guy, I think you gotta have one or two things that you can do, just to kind of at least pretend like you're holding up your end of the bargain.
He's not bad in the kitchen at all.
All right, that's good.
He's actually pretty good.
Good. That's good to hear, because I know that sometimes it's, it can get away from me. I know sometimes my wife will go for a long stretch of, I haven't made something in a while, and she'll be like, well, I've done 13 meals in a row here. It's time. Might be time for you to get in there and do something. And it's funny, because a lot of times my wife is gone, if she's gone and I'll make something, the kids are all like, oh, we know dad's, he's got like 4 things in his rotation. They know it's going to be one of those 4. They'll start groaning. Oh no, he's going to do that. So,
but they know what's coming. So
they do know what's
good.
Coming. Yeah. They do know what's coming. And they like what I make, but I try to stay simple. So I keep,
yeah,
I keep
simple, it simple is good and easy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what's the next phase? What's exciting for you guys? What's next on the basketball side, on the personal side? We'll wrap things up by just give us what's coming in the next week or two in your lives. Maybe you can't even predict at this point, but what's coming next?
I think just getting them here. I think that's where everything becomes whole. The good thing is about this business, when you transition into a program, you get through the semester and you can catch your breath for a second, then you get ready for the summer. Well, in between those two things, between May and July, when the kids come back, it's June, and that's when they'll move out here. And it gives us a few weeks to kind of now relearn the city as a family, which will be really good, and find things for the kids and find things that she needs. And hopefully by then we're moving into our home. So I'm excited about that. And then, we got a bunch of cool ideas and programming for our team. And part of that includes my family. So I'm excited to see what that looks like, and, learn the people and learn the community through my family and with my family along. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And then, you got to take a deep breath, because they just threw recruiting back at us. So we got a lot going on this summer. So it's going to be busy. I'm going to try to enjoy May, because June and July are going to move fast. And then you're looking staring at the fall semester. But we're excited, and so much of these ideas and dreams are coming to life, and we're living it in reality right now. So I'm looking forward to getting them out here the middle of June.
Anna, same for you, I assume.
Same for me. I'm just ready to just move, be next to my husband with our kids, and get to know the city, get to meet people, get to know where we're going to be. And looking forward to a great year.
Well, it's got to be incredibly exciting for both of you to have thought about this for a long time and planned and come up with ideas and thoughts. And hey, if I ever get this opportunity, here's what we want to do collectively to make this program as special as we possibly can. And from everything that I've seen, from everything that I've heard from the two of you, it sounds like it's going to be a fantastic fit. I am so honored that you guys are allowing me to kind of come along for this journey. I'm excited to see where it goes. Hopefully our audience of coaches is going to find this compelling and interesting. And again, I can't thank you, Dwayne, enough for being willing to share this with us. And then Anna, for you to jump on, and I'm sure we'll have you on again at some point as we go through the season, but thank you to the both of you. Really, really appreciate it. That is mentality number two of many more to come. So thanks to the Killings family for joining us today. And to everyone out there, we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.